existence as we enter the new millennium. World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Look at the world today, and what do you see? You see a world torn asunder and divided as never before. And in view of the tragedies that are plaguing the peoples of the world, you might ask, where is the God of judgment? People are quick to ask, if God is a God of love and mercy, why does He allow all the suffering and misery that ravages the peoples of the world to continue? Why doesn't He intervene more quickly than He does at times? The answer, in one sense, is very simple. God created human beings with what we call free will, that is, the ability to choose for oneself how they're going to conduct their lives. Otherwise, we would be merely robots. But immediately after the first humans were created, God instructed the first human to look to Him for the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve chose to choose for themselves what is good and what is evil, and humankind has continued on the same path to this present day. In view of the present human conditions that we find extant all over the face of the earth, we should ask the most basic of all questions. Why did God create humans in the first place? The Bible reveals that He created them to become members of His family, but He wants them to freely choose to follow Him. God revealed to humans the laws and principles that would lead to love, joy, peace, happiness and prosperity, happiness in marriage, happiness with child rearing, and so many other things. But humans have rejected God's laws and principles, and then they turn around and say, why does God allow all this suffering and misery that causes us so much grief? In the presidential debates, candidates are asked how they're going to bring unity to a country that is so deeply divided on so many issues. Most candidates are quick to blame the current administration for the problems, but they are at a loss to really articulate a strategy that would lead to unity. The fact that the U.S. has two political parties that pit themselves against each other provides us with great insight as to why we are where we are in the U.S. today. Each party tends to pander to the special interest groups that support their agenda. National politics center on who is for who and a certain issue versus another issue. Reminds me of the old Hank Williams Jr. song titled, I'm for Love. One of the verses states, the cities against the counties against the state is against the government, and the highway still ain't paved. The banker's against the farmer's against the wall, doctor's against me smoking, and the devil is against us all. And he goes on to say, but I'm for love, and I'm for happiness. And also the song talks about various factions that are against each other in today's world. In today's world, it seems that people are against far more than they are for. The nation is deeply divided on foreign policy, the war in Iraq, the economy, health care, immigration, abortion, homosexual issues, gun control, education, social security, and the role of religion in government. Some argue that people are born homosexuals, that homosexuality is not a choice, that we're all God's children, and thus everyone should have equal rights. The fallacy of this argument is to say, on the one hand, that homosexuals were created by God as such, that is, having that sexual preference, and if God created homosexuals as that way, then why would He turn around and condemn homosexuality in His Word? Yes, people ask today, where is the God of judgment? We see all the various political, social, moral issues that divide us today, and we ask, where is the God of judgment? And we tend to forget what I stated in the first part of the program, that God created us with free moral agency, free will, and allowed us to choose. Otherwise, we would be robots. And then when we make our own choices and the world comes to the crisis state that it's in the present time, we want to turn around and blame God. The Word of God makes it very clear with regard to the behaviors that will keep you out of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" People talk about going to heaven and the kingdom of God. Of course, the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. Revelation 5:10 says that He has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. "But know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." This is from the Word of God. It's from the Apostle Paul, the person that some people like to say that he did away with the law of God. So is God responsible for the deep divisions that divide us on so many issues today? Is God responsible for the situations that we see in the world in which there is so much suffering, misery, agony, and pain? Or are these situations the result of people disobeying God and not listening to our great Creator, the one who revealed to us the way that would lead to love, joy, happiness, peace, and all the things that we say we are for in our lives? People are quick to be selective in the use of the name of God. They use it on the one hand to support their particular point of view and then turn around and contradict it by accepting some other point of view that is clearly condemned in the Bible. None of us would like to be quoted out of context, and none of us would want to be judged on partial and incomplete knowledge and understanding. Before people start using the name of God, they need to understand the nature of God, His plan, and His purpose. God created humans in His image and created within them certain faculties of mind that allows them to think, reason, and make choices. But even though humans were created in the image of God, they are not of the same essence as God. God is spirit and eternal. Humans were created from the dust of the earth, mortal and subject to sin and death. God's purpose is to bring humans into His family through a process of begetting them with His eternal spirit and then bringing them to birth in His family. As members of His family, they will be spirit beings of the same divine essence, of the eternal essence of God in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, "By the same Spirit that He raised Jesus from the dead, He will also quicken or make alive our mortal bodies." Yes, our bodies are mortal at the present time, but they shall be made immortal. We shall be immortal beings in the kingdom of God. But the wonderful plan of God has been perverted and subverted by Satan, the demons, and their agents. Many times, humans unwittingly are among those who join in with Satan and the demons in deceiving humankind. Jesus said, "Those who are not for me are against me." In other words, there is no middle ground. All of the world's major religions are expecting a great messianic leader to come on the scene and lead the world into a new age of peace and prosperity. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for Krishna. The New Agers are looking for Maitreya. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. They're not looking for the Son of God to come as one who has the Spirit without measure, who is the Son of God, who is God in the flesh. They're looking for a great human leader. The Christians are looking for the return of Christ, the Messiah, the true Messiah. And the Islamic world is looking for the Grand Mahdi. W. Andrew Terrell, professor of the Army Wars College Strategic Studies Institute and the top expert on Iraq, states, quote, "Most Iraqis consider the U.S. occupiers and not liberators." He describes the religious imagery extant in Iraq today as follows, quote, There's talk of angels and the Prophet Muhammad coming down from heaven to lead the fighting. Talk of martyrs whose bodies are glowing and emanating wonderful scents, that is, odors. Note again the significance of the preceding statement. There's talk of angels and the Prophet Muhammad coming down from heaven to lead the fighting. The Iraqi people are viewing their resistance in Islamic messianic terms. The radical Iranian cleric, al-Sadr, named his insurgent army the Mahdi Army. In Islamic belief, the Mahdi is a super warrior, a messianic figure who will rise at the end of the age to lead the nations of Islam to victory over all the infidels of the world, finally establishing a global government of Islam. And that is their goal, no matter whether they may be called fundamentalists or any other title that one wants to put on them. This is clearly stated in the Quran. In fact, this Mahdi is thought by many Muslims to be a reincarnation of the Prophet Muhammad. The situation in Iraq is a laden situation that is laden with explosive political implications for all the presidential candidates. Iraq is a landscape of deadly political landmines, with each candidate trying to lead the opponent into the trap. When we come back for the next segment of the program, we'll continue to explore the question, where is the God of judgment? If you would really like to understand why the world is the way it is today, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny and Who is God? These booklets will help you come to understand the plan and purpose of God, about God's nature, and what He is doing here with the sons of men. God created humans to become members of His divine family. He gave them free will, allowed them to choose, and at the same time, He revealed to them the way that they should go. We look at the world today and we see all of the misery, suffering, pain, agony that is extant on the face of the earth, and some people are quick to blame God and say, why does God allow all of this? If there is a God, why does He allow this? If God is a God of love and mercy, why does He allow this? Well, He allows it because if He had not given humankind free will, they would have been robots. God wants human beings to willingly, voluntarily choose His way of life. That way is revealed in His Word, the Holy Bible. And we can help you understand the words of the Bible through these two booklets. What is your destiny? And who is God? To receive the free booklets, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of our program that the world's major religions are looking for a grand messianic figure to come on the scene and lead the world into a new era of peace and prosperity. Of course, that figure would have to pronounce some kinds of judgment upon the world. One of the questions that's being asked in the world today, where is the God of judgment? We see that the people who are fighting, especially the Shiites in Iraq, and then some of those who are supporting the Iraqis from Iran, and of course Iran itself, they are talking about the appearance of a grand Mahdi, a grand leader who will come and lead the world into an era of peace and prosperity. And we see that in today's presidential race, and also in so many other issues that our nation faces, that the Iraqi question is surely one of the great issues of the day. And regardless of who the next U.S. president is, the war in Iraq will not go away, and the overall situation in the region will continue to be an issue for years to come. Bible prophecy clearly reveals that a great bloc of nations in the Middle East will form a confederacy for the avowed purpose of eradicating the people of Israel from off the face of the earth. Do we really believe the Bible? Do we believe the prophecies in the Bible? This is Psalm 83. Keep you not silent, O God. Hold not your peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And that is the avowed purpose of some of the groups in the Middle East at the present time. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 5, this is Psalm 83, verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against you, the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites, of course Ishmael is the father of the Arabs, of Moab, of the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, and the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. That's Psalm 83, verses 1 through 8. The nations listed in Psalm 83 will not be the only nations that will trouble themselves with Jerusalem in the days that lie ahead. Eventually, virtually every nation on the face of the earth will be drawn into the conflict. And the driving force behind the nations to trouble themselves with Jerusalem is spiritual, not political, when all is said and done, though political things and military things will be used as an excuse. The U.S. is caught in a deadly dilemma, and regardless of the path that our leaders choose to pursue, the costs will be enormous, both in terms of human casualties and material cost. And while all of this is going on, the peoples of the world will be used as political fodder as each faction tries to gain the support of the peoples of the world. There is no question that terrorism will continue and people will become more and more frightened and subject to manipulation and deception. The majority of American people now approve of cameras being more widely employed to view the behavior of people. Eventually, we may have a camera on every street corner. And all the while, Satan the devil is the one who is working behind the scenes, influencing humans to hate and kill one another in the name of making the world safer. What a paradox. As the political leaders run to and fro trying to solve the world's problems, satanic and paranormal activity will increase. There have been increased sightings of so-called unidentified flying objects in many parts of the world. People will become more and more susceptible to psychological and spiritual manipulation. As the wars rage and millions die from warfare, famine, and disease, the peoples of the world would be ready to give their allegiance to the pseudo-messiah that will come on the scene, who will pose as the God of judgment. In the midst of all of this, the peoples of the Western world will turn more and more to the false notion that secular science and human goodness can save the world from utter destruction. The peoples of the East are more and more fervent, and of course more fervent in their devotion to their spiritual roots. Yet the peoples of the U.S. claim to believe in God and continue to build churches, but while they have a form of godliness, they deny the power thereof. To deny the power thereof means that they refuse to allow God to transform them into the image of His dear Son. This transformation requires our active participation in surrendering to, submitting to, and serving God. Now let's note Luke 18 and verse 8. And shall not God avenge His own elect, that is, intervene for them, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? See, God is long-suffering, and sometimes we may think as we cry out to God that He doesn't hear and He's not going to answer. Luke goes on to write, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, even in view of that, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? It seems that fewer and fewer people, even those who profess to believe in God, don't really believe in God, because they don't do what he says. So let's note the words, the phrase, the term, bear long in verse 7. It means to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. So it is interesting and paradoxical to note that one of the reasons why some people lose faith when they look at all the problems on the earth today and they say, where is God? That because God is long-suffering is the reason why many of them are not destroyed, because if God were really to bring us to judgment, as we will see in just a moment, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life would be destroyed. So he bears long with us. The nation of Israel asked this question, where is the God of judgment? In Malachi 2:17, the prophet writes, you have wearied the Eternal with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Eternal, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment? Yes, it seems in today's world oftentimes that those who do evil are the ones who are rewarded, and those who are doing good are put down. And we may be, even those who are doing good might be prone to ask, where is the God of judgment? Doubtlessly, God is wearied by us accusing him of not being just or not exercising judgment by asking the question, where is the God of judgment? The book of Malachi answers that question. God is where he's always been. He is on his throne in the third heaven. And he is long-suffering, merciful, not willing that any should perish. Malachi answers the question of where is the God of judgment by stating, Malachi 3:6, for I am the Eternal, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because God does not change in his character, his being, he is long-suffering and merciful, and therefore the sons of men are not consumed. God gives human beings a lot of slack, lots of time before he brings judgment upon them. But ironically, they use this to proclaim that God is dead, that he doesn't care. Solomon writes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. That's Ecclesiastes 8:11. And in Genesis, we find God saying that his spirit will not always strive with men. In other words, there will come a time in which God will execute judgment on this present evil world, just as he did on the pre-flood world. And one of the reasons is found in Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Eternal. In other words, he was sorrowed that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. So God was very grieved to see the evil, and so he is today. Another reason why God is going to execute judgment is so humankind will come to know who the true God really is. If God were to suddenly execute judgment on the face of the earth, on the peoples of the earth, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life would be destroyed. So just like Malachi writes, for I am the Eternal, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The God of judgment is where he's always been. He's on his throne in the third heaven. His eyes run to and fro the whole face of the earth. He searches the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. And he is ready and willing to forgive them, to intervene in their lives. But they must freely choose. He is not going to force them. Now, he is going to bring things upon the earth to get their attention, but he will not force them. The end of this age will be very much like the end of that age, that is, the pre-flood world. We note this in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 39. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, all the things that were listed in the first part of Matthew 24, deceivers, false Christs, wars, rumors of war, famine, pestilence, disease. He says, no, you know not that the end is near. Now, the end of this age, not the end of this world, because there is an age to come. God is going to, he's not going to allow all human flesh to be destroyed. In fact, it says in Matthew 24 that if God didn't intervene, all flesh would be destroyed, but he will eventually exercise judgment. So he goes on to say, Christ does, Matthew 24, verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The very fact that evil abounds causes some to lose faith and accuse God or think that God is just like them. So let's note now Matthew 24, verses 9 through 13. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. No, you'll not be popular if you really stand for God and the truth and the word of God and obey it. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. The culture of the day, or the zeitgeist, the German time, the spirit of the times, causes people to believe that they can make God over in their own image. Don't fall into this trap. Don't ask this question, where is the God of judgment? Because as we've already seen, if judgment were executed on the face of the earth today, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life would be destroyed. And when the pseudo-Messiah sets up his headquarters in Jerusalem, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived and will worship the false Messiah. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. He goes on to say that the peoples of the world have been ignorant of this and willingly, because they could have known God if they would only open the pages of the Bible and allow God to speak to them. So he says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So just because God doesn't intervene immediately, don't get the idea that the God of judgment is not coming. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So where is the God of judgment in your life? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy for the free literature offered on the program, What is Your Destiny and Who is God? Booklets will help you to understand the plan and purpose of God and what God is doing here on the earth today and why he created human beings and gave them free will, the ability to choose in the first place. To receive these free booklets, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this same station next week at this time for World News and Prophecy.